Welcome to MP Access, the official podcast of Five Star Institute and Mortgage Point Magazine. My name is Gina Glusha. I'm the Executive Director of Memberships, and today we have Jeff Rivas with us. Jeff, so glad you're here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. My first podcast ever. So
ever
with you. That's great.
I feel privileged. Very privileged. So I've heard great things from you because your wife is one of my most top favorite humans. And I know that you've had a very wide spanning experience within this industry. Talk to us about the story of Jeff and your journey through the mortgage industry.
Wow. Okay. That's great. Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here and great to be on my first podcast with you. And thank you for the kind words about Raquel. So that's wonderful. I was in commercial real estate, and we were having a really strong, hard time selling. I was young. I was in my 20s, and we just couldn't sell anything. You know, our income was up. Our income was down. And somebody came to me and said, there is a place where you can go, and you can sell real estate, and you can make money. And I said, let's go. And it was the Federal Insurance Corporation for Savings and Loans. This was way back when we had savings and loans.
Yes.
And so I got hired, and the first day in there, they said, there's no longer a savings and loan. You don't have a job here. But guess what? There's a job over there. That was the RTC and the FDIC. And I got hired there, and they didn't even have an office. And they said, your first job is going to be, you're going to Walla Walla, Washington, and you're going to examine files in the bank because they have failed. They had one cafeteria in the area where we were at. I mean, one restaurant. It was just like out in the middle of nowhere. And for 6 months, I did that. And I ended up coming back, and our office was in Southern California, and I got put in charge of selling commercial and residential real estate for the RTC. And that was like Enchantment Resort out in the middle of Sedona. It was a beautiful thing. We had really cool stuff, and then we had the branches as well. All residential was sold through ballroom auctions. It was a whole different world then. And it was the most wonderful job. It was working for the government. It was very structured. There wasn't much you could do outside the rules. But I learned a lot about discipline. I learned a lot about leadership. And I got hired at AmeriQuest Mortgage, which was subprime largest lender ever. We had a blimp. We sponsored the Rolling Stones. We sponsored Major League Baseball. We had all these great things. And yes, I got to ride up in the blimp. But I started there, and we had 300 REO assets, and I was the REO manager, and we had two asset managers. And when I finished, I ended up taking over all of default. And when I finished, I think we had 2,500 REOs. So in that job, I learned a lot about leadership, how to manage a team, how to set structures. We built our own proprietary system for processing REO. We had met with all of the big companies, and we said, no, we can do it better. It was one of the things about America. So we thought we could do it better all the time, and we had the money, so we did. And it was just a wonderful job, and it taught me a lot. We worked with a property preservation company to build out their business, and so we took property preservation from agents doing the work to national vendors. I fell in love with the business. It was just, I enjoyed it. It was family. It was challenging. We were doing a lot of creative things. And then 2007 hits, right? And the company, which you thought would be there forever, gets sold. And they say to me, well, guess what? We're taking most of your team, so it's good news. You can let them know, but we don't have any positions at your level. Plus, it was in Dallas. And so a little bit before that, we started to realize it's going to probably happen that way. And so I told my wife, why don't we start an REO business? It's what I always wanted to do. I saw how the guys worked that came in. I admired them. I thought, hey, they got a great job. We can do this. And so a little bit before we started building the business. We structured it, and it was out of our house. And I gave my notice because I didn't want to be doing two different things. And they said, we need you here longer. We need you here for 45 days. And I said, okay, as long as I can continue to do the other things I wanted to do. They said, absolutely no problem. And I told a partner, hey, once we get five closings, I'm going to quit. And we're going to come over and work together. One month, I said, how many closings do we have this month? Seven. I said, you were supposed to tell me at five. And he goes, okay. Well, she was worried. She didn't want me to leave a job, you know, because we were getting paid and had insurance and everything. And ended up leaving. And the second month in that visit that I was there, we made as much as we had made in the whole year before, both of us combined. It was just amazing. It was an amazing time. And obviously, making money, you fall in love with it even more. And we did that for 8 years and fell in love with that part. And so I feel like my perspective on this business comes from a lot of different areas. It comes from, you know, being a young person, you know, getting an opportunity to building out, you know, a platform and a business that runs and manages from a different level, and then being out in the field. And then finally, when we also had our REO, we got an opportunity to have a property preservation company as well. So we started a property preservation company. We hired somebody. We bought a truck. We bought a trailer. And the person we hired, like, had an anger problem. And within a week, he broke two cell phones. And within 9 days, he had crashed the truck, crashed our trailer. It was like, we were like, what in the world just happened here? And so we've had the hardships, right? I got bit by a dog, by a pit bull relocation deal. I had sheriff run out and tackling a squatter and having seven sheriff cars and two helicopters around. It's been a lot of really good stuff. And then I've also, on the property res, dropped the paint out of the trailer and went through the whole HOA driving around and had to clean it up. So the experience has been great. It's been a lot of different things, not all wins, not all losses, but it's something that, you know, this business is in my heart, so I enjoy it.
That's really interesting because you speak with such joy, which I think is just part of who you are, but it's hard work.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there's questions people ask, well, what would you recommend? And, you know, what would you tell somebody? And it's hard to get up on a soapbox and tell anybody, but I would say this, you know, I was up at 4:30. I was in bed late. I told my daughter the other day, I said, I don't remember your last year in high school. I remember I went to all of your things. I went to all your events. You played sports. But I said, I don't remember. I remember late dinners sometimes, put on 25 pounds, you know, because you're not taking care of yourself right. And yet you still love it. Like it tortures you and then it treats you bad. And, you know, from a physical standpoint. But there's just something about it that really gets in you. And when it's in you, it's in you, you know?
Okay, so this is going to sound like a hard left turn,
yeah,
but it's not.
Yeah.
I saw the other day, and I knew this, but I was reminded of it. My dad was a huge Winston Churchill fan, and still is. And he made me watch all the Winston Churchill movies, documentaries. Mm. And Winston was depressed a lot of his life.
Yes.
And he, when he came home, would lay bricks. And now science shows that when you do something that's physical, that you can see the change of, it really lifts like that slow dopamine. And so I can see that that's kind of similar when you're dealing with an REO and you walk in and there's trash everywhere and God knows what's in the toilet. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then
right.
When you're done, it's transformed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting point. And you know, the other thing is you walk in there sometimes scared, right? Because it's dark. You don't know what's there, you know. And sometimes you walk in with great opportunity. And you do get that urge. And when you're getting close to the property, it's like, okay, what are we going to do? What's the plan?
There's adrenaline.
You don't know what you're getting there, right? So
there's probably someone in the closet.
There could be, and there has been.
Yes, there has been, for sure. So now that you've worked through multiple cycles, what are you seeing right now in the market, and how are you preparing?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that it's interesting because I was looking and trying to figure out, am I going to really do this or not? And I got intel that comes back from conferences and says, this and this is what you can do. And I got an opportunity to team with somebody who had a lot of distress experience, NOD work, short sale work, probate work. And I bring the REO experience as well. And so part of what we're seeing is REOs here. It's interesting because you got to find it. It's like everything else. I think it's one of the things about the business is it doesn't give itself to you. You have to go search for it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go market yourself. You have to go find the people who want to work with you. and you have to show them and build trust with them. But it's here. There's people doing it. And for sure, the short sale business is here. We're doing that right now. I was just, before I came here, met somebody on a short sale. We got an offer from them. I was dealing with somebody on probate deal. We met with them about handling their property. So the distress area and world is here. I believe REO's here. I just can't see it yet. I'm trying to find it, right? That's why I'm coming to these. And hopefully I can convince somebody and show them through my experience and that I can work for them and do a good job. I think that's the value I have. That's a legacy value that doesn't really go away.
Right. It's part of who you are.
Yeah.
So other than looking out and meeting folks, you're primarily in the Southern California area,
mm-hmm,
right?
I am.
And short sales definitely on the rise.
Short sales on
bankruptcy is on the rise. You could always partner with those too.
Yep.
So, okay. And then you retired, right?
You know, I was working and I got sick. And so I stopped working, but I didn't officially retire.
Gotcha.
And so it's always been out there and open. It's interesting because when you're in the REO business and it ends, right? Because for some people it ends and other people it doesn't. I happen to believe this is a segment of the market and people are professionals in the REO world. They're specialists and we see them. You know the names. I know the names. They're names that when I was the manager of REO, they would call every asset manager in there and their name was out. Hey, he's calling, still in the business. I know them. And so for some of us who didn't have that, because it takes time to build those things, it ended. You're handling 15, 20 properties. It's down from the hundreds that you had. You see it coming. And then one day a Fannie Mae says, guess what? You were one of 10, then you were one of 5, then you were one of 3, and now you're no longer. And it's not like, hey, burn off the rest of your properties. It's here, take all those and give them to somebody.
Mm.
And so it's an interesting transition, something you're not typically ready for, right? So that ended, and then I started doing some. So I always had that in there. And then, you start reflecting on what do you want to do? How many more years are you going to work? And what do you want to do?
Right.
And then you go back to, what am I good at? What did I enjoy? Like you said, hey, you sound like you really enjoyed that. And I did. And it's a different challenge because it was interesting when I decided I was going to go from the servicing out. I let a couple people know in the industry that I knew well. The person who developed Equator, the person, I mean, these are, people at B of A, people who were pretty influential in the business. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. And they said, let me write my friends an email for you and say you're going out and let's see what we can do. And it was like the start of, wow. I mean, so it's a great business that way, You build friends, you build relationships, and that's why, it's a very positive thing for me. And so for me, I'm starting all that again. So I know a lot of those people aren't here, but I'm out to find what it is I can do and how I can do it. And starting where I can start, which is I'm very positive about it and I feel really good about it. And so it's, kind of like a new journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Same destination, new path?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A new path, and yet it's gotten a little bit fuzzy, and I don't know if I go left or right. It's like the grass has grown over the trail.
Yes, a whole new adventure.
Yes.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
Okay. And what else are you kind of looking forward to? Do you have other plans? Are you scheming?
Yeah. Just mean outside of this business?
Yes.
Oh. Well, what's funny is that I think I'm staying focused. I'm staying focused right now because I think that if you get too many things going, and this is one of the things that happens, if I get too many things going, because I do have stuff outside of this that I enjoy doing, it really pulls you certain ways. I think, for me, I'm like, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. We're talking about doing a couple other little startup things because I like having a number of different things coming my way. So maybe I'll have something to tell you on the next one.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I look forward to that. I look forward to that. Okay. So we talked about kind of the market a little bit and how it's shifting. You're seeing more short sales, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What other indicators, since you've been in the business for a while, do you look for to say, okay, this is the direction to go?
Yeah, it's interesting that I think it's probably out there with everybody has the same stuff. Let's look at foreclosure numbers. Let's look at debt ratio numbers. Let's look at, delinquency. Let's look at that. So I'm pretty much the same thing. We're doing some short sale work. And we've reached out to a number of lenders in a group that's getting opportunities. So I know they're doing that through some of the platforms right now, and we're working to get into that environment as well. But so you're working in the short sale environment, and then I have some retail work, and the people are on a drip system. I don't know if you know what that means, but I basically can set them up in the MLS to get a property that hits their criteria. I see every single one that comes into me, and I look at whether or not it was their criteria, and I trust them. I work with them a long time. And what I'm seeing now is a lot of vacant houses that are dripping into their place. So I'm looking at it going, how's that? Because this is $1.2 to $1.5 million price range, right? So how's that house vacant? I'm seeing a lot of decreased price. So when it comes up, it gets labeled the price reduction. So I'm saying, okay, that's another price reduction. Fallout. So basically back on the market. So it's telling me that there's a lot of challenges that are happening right now. And so that gives me the opportunity to start digging at why is that happening? Where are we seeing? And I think the other day I got a request for a BPO, and it was outside of my area, but I told the person I'd help them. And I believe that the markets are always changing. Fundamentals should basically stay the same, right? When we get in really good markets, we get overconfident and our fundamentals go away. And then when the bad markets hit, we deal with emotion and we're emotional about what happened. And this is exactly what happened with this property. The lady had a first, and she decided to make a second for repairs. And when you make a second for repairs, you typically would do a draw. So I'm not going to give you all the money. I'm going to give you a little bit of money. And as you do something, I'm going to give you more money. Mm-hmm. But she was overconfident and gave the person all the money up front and has not heard from them. So she basically said, I just need an inspection. I need to know what's happened. If you could look inside and then give me an opinion of value. And so went out there. We were able to get a hold of the person she couldn't get a hold of for months. I talked to him and basically gave the information. And the response was, well, if they don't pay, I'm going to foreclose. And my response to her was the fundamentals may not be right. We've had a reduction in price. In that area, it's come down 7 to 10% from insurance for different reasons.
Right.
And you need to stick fundamentally to be fundamentally sound. And so that's one of the things we're always looking at is how fundamentally sound are we with what we're doing? And when you say you look at the market, what else are you looking at? I look at all the numbers. They're easy. You can pull them up. Everybody here reports them. But also all the little things that you don't see in numbers. You start to make you wonder and worry about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember over a year ago, I was sitting in our NMSA meeting, which is all the top servicers. And that was when they started saying people are calling and asking for short sales.
Yeah.
It was anecdotal at that time, but those are the precursors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Is that meeting Bring a Friend?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Not, we'll worry about that one.
I'm lucky to get in.
Oh, okay.
So, but you would be my friend if I could bring a friend. How are investors, servicers, asset managers kind of looking at assets differently now versus how they were, let's say, 5 to 10 years ago?
Mm. If we kind of relate it to a cycle of REO, I would say, 2008, it was like all about survival, right? What can we do to survive? I feel like now there's a look at how do we keep cash flow? How do we keep liquidity? What do we do? And some of the things that, like I have a Volkswagen, a 74 Carmen Ghia Volkswagen. It's old, It's like if you have a Volkswagen like that, you wish you had a Porsche. I don't have a Porsche. But I have a friend who had a Porsche. He was selling his parts and some parts, a carburetor part. And I said, I'll buy that. And we're coming up to a price. And for me, I had to have the price be something that was enough below that if this market came down on those parts that I could still make some money.
Right.
And the same's true now when you're saying, I'm trying to protect liquidity. I have to be really rigid about my leverage. I don't want to over-leverage myself. So I think we're seeing a pullback in leverage from people who are buying loans and originating loans. The asset managers, I'm seeing there's a need for transparency, right? There's a need to know what's happening on the street next to this one as well as my street. So information's always been available. The depth of the information and how stratified it is, I think the better you get and the more you have, it helps you make decisions. I have, you know, somebody who does flips in Chicago, and block by block, you can make money. That block, you won't make money. That block, you will make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm seeing just from that side of it, the risk is being managed by being better at seeing and understanding what you have. And then the role the agent plays in that is really being a knowledgeable teammate, professional communicator who can solve problems, who has experience in it, and can help that way. And I think that's one of the biggest things. You know, when we started our company originally, we called it Viewpoint, and our slogan was understanding your point of view. So we were like, you know, like I was coming out of a corporate environment. That was great. Sounded great. About a month into it, I was like, no, I think I should have said viewpoint, understanding. You should understand my point of view. You know, because I was like, you should do it this way and you do it that way. And that's not how the people were servicing their loan. They had different reasons. They had limitations. They didn't believe in that way. And so I think it's really, really important to take a step back when you're working and say, what is really trying to be achieved in that particular property, in that pool, in that portfolio? And so when they're managing risks on our end, it's important to be professional, who understands, continues to educate themselves, come to conferences, do the things that you need to do to stay on top of things, and then deliver when it's time to deliver.
Mm-hmm. When you are looking at that for your client, like, what is their end goal and what are the ways that they typically want to go about that? What are the creative kind of tools you leverage in terms of getting it listed, your time on the market, and those kinds of things?
You know, I'm someone who, when we, and I'll keep referring back to when we started with business, the technology wasn't my strength, but I could do numbers really well. And then the person I team with didn't do numbers really well and did technology well. So I think it's important when you're working to have all of these skills that are needed, have them available for you, like to either have them or to have somebody who can help you. So we're going to send somebody out to do professional pictures on your house when we list it, right? Because I could take my camera out there and take a picture, and I missed this one, and boy, that was too short. So it cost me a little bit of money, but it's done well, and I know it's going to represent that home correctly. I think it's important to understand what they're looking for and what you can and can't deliver. And right now, you know, even though we're saying, like, there's a lot of people that say, hey, it's a short sale, they're not going to have any money anyway, it's not how they feel, right? So you also have to take into consideration the little tricks of the trade, but also you're dealing with an emotional person, and you're dealing with their perspective, and you have to be able to manage that. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of different things. It's what makes a business fun. It's not just one.
Just creative. And every situation is unique, right?
And every situation is unique. And you'd like to have 10 of them that are the same, that you can just process them, but you stop looking at them right if you do that.
Right. Right. But even though everyone is unique, there's transferable skills and things that you can learn along the way.
Yes.
That you just kind of build over time, right?
Yeah. You build, and, you know, like I said, you know, I'm never going to go in the backyard when I see a little puppy on the ground because I'll get bit in the arm by a pit bull again. You know, it's like you learn the things, and I better not do that one again.
And rabies shots aren't fun.
My gosh. I called the animal care. I said, I got bit by a pit bull. They're over here. We're going to quarantine them. I'm like, thank goodness. No one's going to have that happen to them again. Thank goodness. And I said, where do you quarantine them at? At the person's house. I go, what does that mean? We keep them in the backyard. I go, that's where they are now.
That's where it got me.
So it's like it doesn't always work the way you want, but you try.
It's all right. It's all right. Do you have any other fun stories?
Yeah, I got a lot, but I don't know how many I can share, you know.
What's one you think you can share?
Oh, gosh. We started the property present. So in Southern California, where do you live?
I live in Dallas.
Okay. Southern California, you know, it's expansive. And just like now they're saying, you know, California doesn't have that many REOs. And I think they have them because I know people have them. So it's not like never, never. You just got to find them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was starting out in Southern California, and this property preservation company told us, we need somebody in your area. We would like to give you a region of Southern California. So when this pops, you guys will have that, and it'll be a good income source for you. And, you know, they sold us on that. And we knew them well because we had helped build their business. They're like, here's a payback. But I'm a Southern California person, native. I've lived there my whole life. And my wife was from Chicago. And she was in charge of taking all the files in. So they would say, we got a file. Where is it? Imperial County. Well, that's like 3 hours from us. Yeah, but we got to take it. We told them. Two lawn cuts, 3 hours away. And then we go the other way. It would be an hour away to do another lawn cut. And so it was just starting off, and it was really hard to make money because what we had agreed on was to do the work. So there was a couple times when we had to do the work ourselves because we didn't have the people, you know. The guy crashed a truck, we started doing it ourselves. And, you know, we said we had a housekeeper at that time. We had like someone come in and clean our own house. And we're going out and cleaning the property. So there was a refrigerator, and my wife put on gloves and was cleaning the refrigerator, pulling it back, and all the water from the refrigerator, which was like bugs in there, it went into the gloves.
Oh.
And it was like just a freak out. And so I said, don't, that's just a one-time thing. So person doesn't show up for one of the jobs, and the people we're working with said, you're having an inspection on Monday. So we go out there, second time, we go out there, juicy sweats, looking good. This was way back, right? Juicy, looking good. We go out there to clean it, and it's 2 a.m. when we get done. Dripping sweat, messed up stuff. And we were like, we can't do this anymore. This is going to kill us. We're already working all night with the REO, so it wasn't a bad story. It was a cute story, but it kind of got us out of that business. It was mm-hmm. just like, this isn't for us, because that's a tough business.
That is.
It's not paid well, and it's a lot is expected of it, and there's never an answer that's good enough. Well, you missed that over there. It's like, yeah, but I did a lot of really good things. It's like, it's never enough, you know, and I understand that. They're paying money to have it done right. So.
Right. Okay. Lots of adventures.
Yeah. Notice I'm not telling the stories about me. I'm telling about other people.
Well, I can imagine, Raquel, with that. I can hear the scream.
Oh, my gosh. You ask her about it. She freaked.
I remember her mentioning that once.
Yeah.
For sure. How important is experience and relationship building in uncertain markets?
You know, I think it's safe to say, in general, it's needed. Right. Relationship building. One of the things that we try to do is when you're going, it's kind of my philosophy, when things are going badly and you can't shake it, like you just can't get things turned around. Have you ever had those moments mm-hmm. in your life? Help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like help somebody else because you'll feel better yourself. You'll lose some of what you have, some of the anxiety or frustration you have, and if you can help somebody, you'll feel so good about it, right? And so when you relationship build, it's really about how can I help you? What is it you're looking for? What is it? Why are you here? What's your goal today? Oh, maybe I can put you with this person. Maybe I can put you with that person.
Mm-hmm.
In general, relationship building is very, very important. Education is important in this business. I say to myself, well, you've been in business so long. What are you going to learn, right? And then you go and take a class, because I took the class on short sale certification class, and it's like, wow, I didn't know that, or that. And it was more than I thought I was going to get out of it. And so you have to kind of humble yourself in terms of you do need the education, if you can afford it, because things get expensive, and there's a lot of it, but you got to choose the right one, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to choose the right one, got to pay the right price, got to get the right value out of it. But when you do, you start becoming known, you start building relationships, you start learning and then putting it to use. And then the other thing is repetition. You actually have to put it to use. You know, I took the BPO that I mentioned earlier because I needed to get the reps in. I'm not getting enough reps. What else can I do? So I think all those things are important. But relationship in a bad market and a good market, and knowledge building in a bad market and good market, mm-hmm. is just as important. I think good markets, like I mentioned earlier, you know, we get overconfident in things, and then you walk away going, well, why didn't I do that? Like, when you need it, now you need it. Why didn't I do it when it was going well? And it's just, I think that's human nature. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, but I think it's an important piece.
Yeah. I would agree that when things are good, discipline is harder.
It is.
Yeah.
You find a million other things. You know, you're doing well. You want to enjoy what you've earned, and then instead of doing that, and then when you're struggling, like, oh, I got to go do that, go take that because I got to get going. And then, you know, it's kind of backwards.
It is. It is kind of backwards. Well, and I think the other thing is, too, when things are going well, you're busy.
Yes, that's
you're
true.
Busy,
that's true.
You know, so you don't have as much time to prioritize those fundamentals.
Yes.
You know, when you think of your fundamentals, what would you say are your top priorities for those?
You know, my top priority coming up is that I need to get a social media presence. I don't have one. And I see the people out there who have it, including somebody we both know, right? That's out there all the time and
all
is a
time.
Pro, right? I should be able to access that at
Maybe
a low,
she
at a low cost.
Do it for you.
But I think it's more than that. I think it's really just, it's feeling it. Like, you have to feel like I'm going to do that because mm-hmm. it's good for what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not good at this or I'm not good at that. It's like, I wasn't good at podcasts. I came on here because I felt like I could bring value, but mm-hmm. also because if I get a chance to be seen, I want to be seen.
Right.
Anyone who's seen with you is somebody special.
Oh, thank you.
So I feel like there's a lot that can come of that. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So social is one. What other fundamentals?
Social is one. I'm doing the short sale training now.
Yes.
I really do feel like that is a an opportunity. I think it's going to come. I feel like the opportunity is so unlike the REO, which is go out and get it. The kind of the model is, well, some of the lenders can't tell you about their short sales because
right.
of privacy information. So it ends up being a little backwards, right? So now you get out there and try to put yourself in a location. So I'm trying to figure out how I can access that information mm-hmm. better. We're door knocking because I think it's important to stay kind of grounded on what you're doing. So I don't wear this when I go out there, but we're talking to people and saying, hey, you have an NOD. How can we move our work up? You know, further in the pipeline and say, how can we have an opportunity with you now? Because you're going to need to do these things in the future. What is it you want to do?
Right.
It's just, and it keeps you attached to what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And trying to stay physically fit. Kettlebell, I'm starting to use a kettlebell.
Ooh,
yeah.
Those are kind of fun.
Yeah,
I'm always afraid I'm going to hit something.
I go in, sometimes I'm by the car when I'm doing it because I like to be outside. And I'm like, if this thing... I'm going to get in trouble, you know. But it is, it's funny because I've always worried about, like, you're going to throw your back out, you're going to do this. But if you do it right, there's a lot of technique.
Absolutely. That's the other thing.
And it doesn't have to be a lot of weight. It's just a little bit to kind of,
and
the whole, and part of the theory is that you want your body to be moving in different directions, creating balance and creating equilibrium so that you're building strength that way.
It's kind of different muscle, like, maybe I'm saying this wrong, but like the muscles connecting to each other
exactly.
and working in ways that when you move, you move.
Yep.
Right. Because I don't do push-ups on the regular except right. to get strong.
Right. Well, like
but I do bend down a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. That's
right?
a good one. Well,
they, to like pick up whatever was left on the floor again.
One of the exercises is bring, like, carry a lot of weight and just walk with it on one side, because your core's correcting, working yourself. And so you think, well, I'm not doing squats. This is what I'm going to do. And it seemed beneficial.
For sure. For sure.
I haven't been doing it long enough yet. I'll let you know.
Perfect. Jeff, thank you so much for joining. It was lovely to get to know you better.
Thank you.
And for you to share your stories. You've had a good journey. But I think the thing that struck me most is your joy.
Yeah.
Your joy and through all of it. Because there's a lot of times when you're working and hard work and people are less joyful. So thanks for bringing that light today.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what's funny is that I get, it's interesting because you can see a lot of people that have different organizations that promote agents and different things. And each one, you have to have your own match personality wise.
Yes.
But I do feel like there are some that are very enthusiastic. They're hardcore, but they're enthusiastic about, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. And it kind of resonates with me to say that is, you have to go in, you have to go all in and try to do it and be happy about it, or you're going to miss opportunities. So
yep,
we'll
absolutely.
See. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Thank you so much.
I believe in you.
Thank you. And for somebody, you know, relatively new again, I appreciate you taking a chance of having me come on.
Absolutely. Okay. Our pleasure. I've heard great things, not just from Raquel. And thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time on MP Access.
Thanks for listening to MP Access. Stay up to date with daily mortgage news, featured stories, and our latest episodes of the podcast at themortgagepoint.com. Don't miss out, and we'll see you next week.